This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. When comedian Emo Phillips takes the stage, you already know you're in for a one-of-a-kind experience. The Dutch boy haircut, the mismatched clothes, the confused childlike gaze, and then he opens his mouth.
Oh, boy. I was running through Central Park the other day. I had a very bad asthmatic attack. These three asthmatics jumped me. I know I should have heard them hiding, you know. So, always carry ragweed.
Always good advice. Emo Phillips has been in stand-up comedy for 30 years. His comedy has influenced the work of Jim Carrey, Dimitri Martin, and many, many others. Emo's in town to perform at the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival in Carrboro, but he made a stop by our studio first. Emo Phillips, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Yeah,
thanks for letting me. You know, speech separates us from the animals. An amplified speech... from the Amish.
One way, you have been doing comedy now since stand-up since the 1970s. Have you ever done
anything? Since 1976.
To be exact. Well, have you done anything else?
Well, before that, the only other job, I was a waiter, believe it or not, and I didn't last long. They made me go in on a free day to learn the Heimlich anti-choking maneuver, so I have this training session. It takes me an hour and a half to master it, and afterwards, the instructor says, now, if that doesn't work, you take a ballpoint pen and stick it through the person's throat, and that creates an air passage. I said, well, hold on. You had this easy way all along.
So that was the end of your waiting career.
Never get that day
into
back.
Comedy. You have probably been thinking about this for a while. What's the best joke you ever heard as a kid?
The best joke I ever heard, it was when our teacher told us, if an atom bomb is coming towards the school, get under your desk. Remember that one?
I do remember. So I was wise enough not to laugh at the moment just because I knew there'd be consequences. Did you have a pleasant childhood?
Yeah, I had the kind of early 60s kind of Norman Rockwell, kind of quintessential Leave It to Beaver kind of upbringing, I guess. You know, I'm very lucky. Our neighbor had an apple orchard. Well, one midnight, I climb one of his trees, and I'm helping myself to some of his delicious eaten apples, and I hear a shotgun clicking. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was a jewelry store.
Your one-liners are constantly making these lists, these best jokes of all time, whenever they come out. Which of your jokes is your favorite?
You know, that's like asking a mom, what's your favorite kid? I mean, obviously, you know, the ones that slip out the easiest.
I actually, when we played that joke, we played a little tape of you at an earlier performance doing the joke about having an asthma attack. And you were chuckling here in the studio.
Yeah, I forgot it.
You still laugh at your own? Well, I mean, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It is a good thing. So what are three other things? What are three things that make you laugh?
My sister's nipples. Mm-hmm. Well, I count one. It's pretty tiny.
You have been doing comedy now for a while, as we've established. Do you get nervous? Is it scary for you to get out on stage?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at any newspaper poll, Frank, the number one fear is speaking in public. See, I would have guessed it's, you know, being buried in a coffin with a severed head, you know. And just as your flashlight is about to die for the very last time, the eyes open. But no. Apparently, you know, it's a speaking in public thing.
Like, Emo Phillips is my guest on The State of Things. Do you ever do political stuff?
Well, these days, it's a touchy subject. I mean, I am not a Republican, but I am saving up to be one. But I do care about, you know, the situation in the world. For instance, they say in 2036 an asteroid might come towards us. Now, If I think of an asteroid's coming towards us, you don't have to blow it up. All you have to do is slow it down long enough for our country to rotate out of the way.
Yeah.
Once again, Canada gets a free ride.
do you, when you create your stuff, are you writing jokes? Do you sit down? Is there a moment when you're quiet thinking about making a show?
Probably. I don't know. It's hard. I'm not really in tune with my own creative process.
You do some of your work in L.A. In fact, you spend a lot of time there.
I live in L.A.
You've got to have a lot of stories just to tell.
Well, L.A. is a kind of a weird place. You got to wait 10 days to buy a gun. I mean, I know. How am I supposed to stay mad? I tell you, you want to hear a story?
This is,
I don't know if we have time, but I was walking down the street and this guy says, can you spare some change? And he had a little cardboard sign around his neck that said karma. I said, what's karma? He said, karma is a Hindu concept which posits that one is rewarded or punished in the next life by how one comports himself in this. I said, so if I'm a stingy tightwad and I never give money to beggars, is it possible I'll be a beggar in the next life? He said, yeah. I said, well, if you're a beggar in this life, is it not probable you were a tightwad in the previous life? He said, yeah. I said, well, how can I hope to be rewarded in the next life if I attempt to thwart God's punishment for you by helping you out financially in this life? He said, I don't know. I said, you want to break the cycle? He said, yeah. And I got $5 off of him.
So only in L.A.
It's good to help others.
I guess it is. Have you been to this area, the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area?
Oh, yeah. Well, I often work Charlie Goodnights. It's an amazing club. And I love the whole South. It's such a great region. I got in trouble. I went back to Chicago after appearing in Atlanta, and the guy said, you want some coffee? I said, yes, sir. He said, you don't have to call me sir. I said, no, it's just like a Southern way of talking. You know, yes sir, no sir. I mean no respect.
You are performing at the Cat's Cradle in Carrboro this weekend. What are you most looking forward to?
Well, I've heard it's a very smart crowd. See, I like smart people because smart people don't heckle. If a smart person doesn't like a show, he just blames himself the whole time for not having more assiduously researched his entertainment options for that evening, you know. Why didn't I Google him
before I got here?
Yeah.
Who are your fans now? Because you must have carried some fans along from those early days.
Emophiliacs.
And picking up new people along the way.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, that's another nice thing about I'm doing a show this Friday, 9 p.m. at the Cat's Cradle in Carrboro. And I'm going to have a lot of younger fans and trying to get the new generation into it.
Well, do you try? I mean, what happens when you know there are younger people? Does it ever – you ever wonder, oh, should I be changing my stuff? Should I work toward grabbing that audience and keeping them?
No. I think it's fairly ageless what I do. Yeah. You know, I try to kind of keep up with all the new things, you know, like fax machines and whatever.
Do you have fax jokes?
Do I have a fax joke?
Yeah.
No, I'm working on one.
I'm working on one now. Well, take your time because it's just very few people even have them.
Is that true?
Yes. See? Yeah, they're not. They're starting to catch on.
Well, it's a lesson. If you just wait long enough, you don't have to do something. Right?
Do you enjoy meeting your fans after the show?
I love to meet my fans. I always take time after the show to meet my fans. Although I sense we both walk away a bit disappointed.
Have you ever had to have – what about heckling now? Has there been a time – because clearly to be in stand-up this long, you've learned to handle hecklers, right?
I really don't get heckled at all. I think that's more like in the movies than in real life.
Early in your career, did that happen?
Oh, a couple times, yeah. But not really. It's more like a myth, you know, like in the 40s films. You know, like having a large dressing room or you know, the groupies.
When you first hit the scene, you have an unusual act. Was it hard to get club owners and audiences to catch on? Do you feel like you caught on immediately?
Not really. No, I would go on stage and I would just keep doing my act. And with every joke, like another table would walk out By the end of my act, there'd be no one in the room. Then it would be time for the headliner. He'd say, "You cleared the room." "No," I said. "No," I said. I just got rid of the dead wood."
Just warming them up for you.
Just, no, well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now we know, we got the hardcore,
now you got the
comedy
hardcore
lovers.
Fan.
Have you found yourself having to refine or to change things over time?
Oh, one is always honing. Mm-hmm. One is always refining. That's part of being a creative artist.
You have never gotten, as far as I know, your own TV show. This is unusual.
As far as I know, I have not either. I'd have to check my resume.
What would that be? What would the Emo Phillips show TV show be?
I've never really thought about it. I prefer, I don't know. Maybe I would play the wacky neighbor, mm-hmm. or the wacky prison guard, or the wacky electron microscopist. Something wacky.
We're waiting to see that. That's going to be one of the great.
The wacky key lifeguard. You know, I like the beach. I love the sound of the crashing surfers against the rocks. You always have a sign at the beach, right? No glass bottles. I think that's so the other sand particles don't feel like underachievers.
When you play a place like Raleigh-Durham, you talked about the South being a somewhat different place. I mean, do you feel the difference from region to region, even in your audiences?
Oh, it's amazing differences between the South and the rest of the country. Like if you go to the P.F. Chang's in L.A., like that, the handicap spaces are to the left of the door. In Atlanta, for instance, they're to the right. It's hard. Ooh, it's like being in a Twilight Zone.
Did you have a pleasant Valentine's Day?
I was by myself. Yeah, I'm divorced. I hate being divorced. I'd much rather be a widower. Can I talk about my
divorce? Yeah, please.
Well, she said, "Emo, this is helpful for your listeners." She said, "Emo, I've lost the tingle. T-I-N-G-L-E. I don't know what a tingle is, but it's equivalent to one house." She phoned me. She said, "I need an extra $50,000. I want to redo the exterior of the house so it better suits my personality." I said, "That's a lot of money. Does it have to be real gingerbread?"
Not a happy marriage.
No, she took it the wrong way. She took it as a joke.
Do you... So what advice do you have for young lovers, for a successful marriage?
Well, I can only give advice to the men, and I've learned one thing. Women love courtesy on a date. I got in trouble once on a date. I didn't open the car door for her. Instead, I just swam for the surface.
Do you remember your first kiss?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was in third grade, school cafeteria. It didn't go very well. You know, I got my fingers caught in her hairnet.
Was it the tater tots?
I don't know. Is that like a group? Is that like a quartet?
It is now. Yeah. So it didn't go that well. Obviously, that romance didn't last.
No, but I'm quite one with the ladies.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I'm still looking for that one special woman, you know, who will destroy my dreams more slowly than any other. I know she's out there.
Do you have children?
No kids. It's not easy raising a kid in this new millennium. You know, my nephew just started surfing the net. Now we have to keep him away from the porn sites for 10 years till my sister's face changes a little bit.
Well, what advice do you have for those of us who are, you know, are for new media? We hear so much about it, how much it takes up our time and we're not able to focus on the right things. Any suggestions for how we can, you know, focus better and not waste our time?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
How do we do this? How do we manage our life in the new millennium, all this confusing new media?
Oh, I don't know. It just, you know, just chill out. You know, just relax. Maybe I'm a bad person to ask. If you come see my show, that's probably the best advice. I have a website, emophillips.com. It's a nice site. I didn't install it. I don't even know how electricity works. All I know is it calms me.
Well, now, if you could say one important thing to our listeners right now, what would it be?
Cell phones are like a dog's nipples. You don't have to shout into them.
Plenty more advice where that came from if you go to see Emo Phillips. Emo Phillips, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Frank.
Comedian Emo Phillips performs at the Cat's Cradle Friday at 9 o'clock, part of the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival, going on all week, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. For tickets and more information, you can visit nccomedyarts.com. Tomorrow on The State of Things, we're going to take a look at how you feel about science. Turns out that if I ask the question one way, you might think biofuels and nanotechnology is dangerous. On the other hand, you might just embrace it. Exploring the truth behind the public's opinion of science. That's tomorrow. Thank you for listening to today on our program. Website is stateofthings.org. We're on Facebook as well. Our program is produced by Amber Nimix and Alex Granados. Bill Kumpf and Nasser Abbas are our interns. Robin Copley is the technical director. Managing editor Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.